It says, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about letting God set the pace of your life. Father, I thank you for these folks who come today. Thank you for Sunday school, and we can get a lesson together, Father. And I pray, Lord, we'd find guidance in our lives. I pray, Lord, help our lives to be set at the right pace. And, Lord, I pray you'd help us to be in your will, and I pray you'd work powerfully in our minds and in our hearts as we study your word. And I pray today we'd receive guidance in our lives. Lord, please let your spirit speak in every class. And with me also, Lord, as I speak, we pray you would just do a work, and I just ask you to bless this time and go powerfully through your word and speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple things out of this verse. It says we are compassed about, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. All around us, the saints that it names in Hebrews 11, Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Jacob and many different people that live by faith, David and all these people, it says they are now the witnesses. We are surrounded by a cloud of them watching us. So you are being watched not just by the Lord, but a cloud of witnesses that we believe in this and other passages, they know what's going on at least. And certainly they're witnesses, the great faith that we need to have. And it says, because we have been handed this by these people and the great faith, it says, let us run, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. A lot of things here to talk about, but I want to notice it says our Christian lives, it says to run with patience. Run with patience. The word patience means perseverance, actually. It means just continue to run and run and run. I don't like long-distance running. I like a lot of athletic things, but long-distance running is for the birds. It's tiring, but it is, I don't know. I see people jogging down the street, and if I were in a football game and I run after somebody or a basketball game, I'm fine. But just to run down the road and just not be doing anything for any real reason, I don't like running. It's just, even when I was in great shape, I could run. When I was a teenager, I could run unlimited. I'd not run, I could jog. I could jog and not need to stop. I just didn't get winded ever. And I still didn't like it. It just wasn't my favorite thing to do. I'll never be a marathon runner. I'm more made for sprints to the fast food counter, I guess. But I'm not a big runner long distance. And in this thing, though, it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So first of all, we're supposed to run. It doesn't say we're supposed to walk in the Christian life. It doesn't say you're supposed to ride in the car. It doesn't say you're supposed to jog. It says we are supposed to run. And so let me just give you a few thoughts on this in this passage here. Number one, in your life, God wants you to go forward. He wants you to go forward. You know, the Bible talks about growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says run with patience, looking unto Jesus. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We are going somewhere. We are running to a certain point. A marathon is not, okay, everybody just go 26 point, whatever miles it is, what, 26.3 or something? What's a marathon? Anybody know? 26.2 miles? You run marathons? Yeah, you're out. I'm impressed. I'm jealous. It is not just run anywhere. There is a finish line. There is something to accomplish. You're trying to get somewhere. And you're running and you're looking unto Jesus. He's at the finish line saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's Jesus at the end looking at you saying, you made it. You did good. I'm faithful. So we're and pressing toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God. We are supposed to be going forward. It doesn't say, let us sit with patience. Although that's what most Christians live their life doing, is just sitting there. You know what, God? I'm glad I'm saved, and I'm glad you're there, and I'm going to hold fast and keep going to church until you come. Well, that's not much of a victorious Christian life. That's certainly not what they lived like in the book of Acts and in the Bible. They didn't live like that. They were going, and we are supposed to be going somewhere with our faith and with our life. God wants you to go forward, not backward. Jeremiah 2:19 says, I know backsliding shall reprove thee. We're not supposed to be going backward. You should be going forward in your Christian life, going somewhere where God wants you to go, learning things you're supposed to learn, getting better at the Christian life, knowing God more, and you're supposed to be going forward. So you're supposed to be running a race. Running a race is going somewhere and it's going forward, and that's important. Number two, we are in your life, God wants you to go quickly. Go quickly. Run, it says. And you're supposed to be going forward quickly. That is a good pace. It didn't, and God chooses words very carefully. He says, not one jot or tittle will pass from the law. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And by the way, if you look at the good Christians in the Bible, you look at Jesus, you look at Paul, you look at the Peter and the apostles and the disciples in the New Testament, they were going someplace directly. I mean, they were praying, they were asking God to do things, they were witnessing, they were sharing the gospel, they were sending missionaries out. I mean, they were doing something, and they were going there quickly. It wasn't, we're just going to hang around and slowly serve God and grow a little bit. No, they're trying to reach the entire world in one generation. They're running. And running in life. You know what, folks? I'll just say it a lot, and I can't help it because I'm a big picture person. I am so constantly right now analyzing my 40s. When I hit my 50s, I'm 40 right now. When I hit my 50s, I'm going to be slowing down. I just watch people and watch the nature. You in your 40s, if you take care of yourself, have about as much energy as you do in your 30s, if you take care of yourself. Your 50s, you're starting to drag a little bit. And you know what? I've got a lot to do in my 40s. And I look at life, and I constantly look at the big picture and say, man, I am more than halfway through my life. I got to go. I'm not going to be somebody who's 45 and say, oh, I'm getting old. I can't live like that. I got too much to do with my life. And God wants you to go and go forward quickly and do things. I don't want to be a person, and so far I haven't been, in general, that says, where did my life go? That's most Americans. Where did the time all go? How did my kids get so big? How did I get so old? What happened? Go quickly in life, folks. What you want to accomplish, and can I just talk about this in a practical level? People constantly say to me, man, I can't believe this year's already gone. I mean, all the time we hear this, don't we? I can't believe the year's already gone. I can't believe I've already hit my 40s. I can't believe I'm already 30 now. I can't believe that. I can't believe that this year's already done. I can't believe that it's already winter again. That's life. Life, people constantly are saying, it's going by so fast, going by so fast. And you go and you visit old people, and you think, you weren't young ever, but they were. They were just 25. And it flies by. And when people are constantly living like that, what they do in a practical level of their life is they always put off the things into the future because they think they'll get things done in the future. And live a whole life like that. Since our society has gotten to this point where they worship education, everybody thinks they have to go to college. And some people should go to college, and I think college is good for a good percentage of people. Well, that's fine. And here, you know how many people that I know, and you know, I'm sure, that are going to get back to college? How many people do you know? How many know somebody who's going to get back to college someday, and they're going to do it? We all know people like that. I got to get back to college. I'm going to finish college. And they're one semester in. And then it just goes by year after year after year. And then they got kids, and then they're 30 and 35, and they're saying, yeah, I started my degree, and I'm going to get back to it someday. But not this next semester. Listen, in a practical level of life, I'm going to get a better job someday. You just need to jump on life. You just got to grab it by the horns, and you got to run, because life is going to fly by, and you're going to say, man, I got to get a better job, and you're going to find yourself 40 and saying, boy, one of these is going to get a better job. I've been saying that for 15 years, and I'm just struggling financially constantly. I don't think life has the amount of time that most people think, and they're eventually going to get done. If you're going to be a good parent, just do it. Just take Nike's motto for life. Just do it. I'm going to go do this someday. I'm going to change this. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start going to church faithfully. Folks, run your race. Run. Life is short. Let alone, that's just if you live a long life. If you don't die, if Jesus doesn't come back, if if we don't have a natural disaster or a terrorist attack or anything else, just life, just living 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, that goes by fast. So run your race of life. Decide you're going to do things and live it passionately and intensely and quickly. Number three, we're supposed to live. God wants to go forward. God wants to go quickly. God wants to go forward continually. Now it says run, but it says run with patience. Now that's kind of interesting. Now why would God say run with patience? I think the perfect example is a marathon. You look at those guys going out front, the Kenyans usually, and those marathon runners, they're booking. But they aren't sprinting. They aren't sprinting. And by the way, even at the end, they can't sprint anymore. They're too tired. But they're running a fast pace. But they're running with patience. I remember when we were in junior high, and we had a PE coach who loved to make us run races. And I learned what the 400 was, and 800 was, and 1600, all these different things. Learned all these different races. And he just loved to do that. And we'd run all the time. It was probably good for all of us. And he was a good PE teacher. And I'll never forget, we had a big, big muscular guy. His name was Brett. And he was Mr. Macho. And we're supposed to run the 1600, which that's four times around the track, isn't it? Four times around the track. And that's a pretty long race. And I remember Brett, he was always the macho guy. Brett just took off full speed, fast he could run, you know, and we're all jogging, and he is almost catching up to us in the second lap, but not by the fourth lap. he was running as fast as he could sprint around the thing. You know what? You'll actually finish your race slower if you do that, because you can't do that. And, you know, it's kind of, it says run with patience. See, you go to every church service and do the things God wants you to do, and you pray and you read your Bible and you raise your family right and do everything, but you do it at a pace you can live your whole life doing that. You continually, with persistence, run your race. In other words, you're not a shooting star. It's going to come and go in a week. Somebody who's like on fire for God for a month and then all of a sudden they disappear. You are a person who's running with patience and realizing that God's got to keep you growing. You've got to go at the right pace in life. Realize that there's a pace to the Christian life. You got to sleep sometime. You got to go and you got to, you know, I think there's times when you might go without sleep because you're fasting, asking God for something, but you got to sleep sometimes. You got to go and you can fast, and I think that's great, and that's part of the running patience. Oh, somebody go help her. Jess, go back and help her. Go back and help her. See if she's okay. So you go and look, I think she'll be okay. She just took a spill over there. She didn't hit anything hard. So you go and you continually at the right pace run your life. Let me take you back to Exodus here, and we'll show you some good examples of running the race here. Exodus. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23. We said run your life with, go forward. God wants you to go forward. God wants you to go quickly. God wants you to go continually at the right pace. And next, the Lord often has to control the pace for our good. And this is a real important thing right there. It's like she's fine. Good. The Lord often has to control the pace of our life for our good. Exodus 23, and let me start you at verse 27. And God talking about going to the promised land. I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all mine enemies turn their backs to thee. Now notice that. You're going to go in the promised land. You're going to get victory. You're going to come forward. You're going to get the land. I'm going to make your enemies run from you. But watch what he says carefully. It's really important here. He says, I'm going to give you the land. However, verse 28, and I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. Read the next verse. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Rick, can you open a couple windows? It's a little stuffy in here. He says, God says, I'm going to give you the land. You're going to inherit the whole land. It's going to be awesome and wonderful, and praise the Lord. And I'm going to give you the land. However, I'm not going to drive them all before you in an instant. I'm going to drive them out from before you. I'm going to send hornets before you to go drive them out. However, I'm not going to drive them out in 1 year. So God's going to go before you. He's going to prepare the way before you. And can I just tell you something? If you're in God's will, God will prepare the way. You might not see the way of victory, and we'll talk about that in this morning's message, but God will prepare the way. You just got to make sure you're in God's will, and he prepares the way. But he says, I'm going to slowly drive them out. You're going to go in, you're going to take land over, and then you're going to fight some more enemies and go forward and take the land over. Why? Because you're not, if we were here, let's just say we're in in the Seattle area, and we were Israel coming in, and let's just say we're starting from Olympia. We started conquering and headed north. And north we come and we conquer Olympia, and then we conquer Lacey, and we start coming forward. We're going towards Tacoma. What happens is all the farms and all the things we need to take over up north, all those things, say Everett and Seattle and Linwood and Montlake Terrace and all those things, if all the people took off and weren't there anymore, all the farms would start falling apart, all the houses would fall apart, and so the land would be overgrown. And God says, I'm going to take you into land, but I'm not going to do it in just 1 year. I'm going to make you go forward, take over this land, establish yourself there, go forward, take over the land, establish yourself there, scatter out, get on your farms, take over the land. Because if not, you ever see, listen, it does not take long for a farm to get overgrown. Leave your garden for a year and watch what happens to it. Leave your lawn for a month in this time of year. And in our area where everything grows so fast, our yard, everything grows so fast. Praise the Lord. Our fruit grows fast, our vegetables grow fast, and our weeds grow fast, and everything grows fast. You've got to go little by little, I'm going to send you in. In other words, God says, I am going to let you conquer this land at a good pace, and I'm going to lead you. You're supposed to be going quickly, yet I'm going to control the pace for your good. First of all, he has to prepare the way. We see that in verse 28. And I will send hornets before thee and drive out the Hivite. So he has to go and prepare the way. So what are you saying here, Pastor? I'm saying, just like God said, strangely enough, run with patience. We have got to go forward quickly in our lives and let God guide us, however, realizing that God has to control the pace and prepare the way. You cannot get to the land of promise and God's victory in your life. You cannot get there before God. And God is going to prepare a way if you'll stay in his will. But sometimes you say, I want to get all the land conquered. And God says, you aren't ready to have all the land conquered. You've got to grow little by little and do that. So you're going forward to conquering land, but everything isn't just splitting in front of you. And you've got to struggle sometimes. One, God has to prepare your way. Next, not too quickly. You may not be able to handle it. You may not be able to handle it. Important scripture on this is a story in Matthew, I think it's chapter 12. And the story talks about an unclean spirit going out of a man. And the man sweeps out his house, his life, his body, and garnishes it, makes it all nice and pretty, and takes everything out of it. And the demon can't find anywhere else to go, and he comes back to that man's body and finds it totally empty now. And it says, now that it's totally empty and cleaned out, he says, I'm going to go take, and he goes and gets more demons, and he says the man is now filled with demons instead of just one, and he's worse off than before. There's a very important lesson in the Christian life. It says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And in your life, you cannot just quit everything as a Christian. Okay? You will have too many voids, and you will end up doing more things. Many times when someone tries to stop an addiction, and they go out and just stop cold turkey, sometimes God gives them grace, and sometimes people are able to do it, but sometimes they just get rid of their friends, and get rid of their drugs, and and they just stop everything at once. And then they go back into worse addiction, because there was just nothing there to fill the void. And God says, I got to drive them out, but if the land is desolate, there's nothing there. So we want you to not just give up your bad friends, but get good friends. Not just give up your bad music, but get good music. Not just quit reading bad things, but read good things. Not just quit thinking about bad things, but think about good things. You cannot just rush in and barge over everything. And here's the thing. God's got to set the pace that you can handle. As a pastor, I don't know what I can handle, so God's got to choose how fast the church grows. I don't know what I can handle. I've got to just let him grow and know what the pace that I can handle and what pace the church can handle, and we got to trust him in that. In your own personal life, you've got to trust God to work things out. When am I going to get married? When is this going to happen? When am I going to have this happen? When is this worked out? You've got to let God pick your pace in life. You stay in his will, but let God pick the pace of your life, because you don't know what you can handle and not handle. You may say, I got to get married, and you go get married. And you weren't ready for marriage. And you know what? You weren't ready for marriage, and you start off on the wrong foot, and you hate each other after the first year, and now you got 30 more years of hating each other, where in a year you might have grown enough where you could have loved each other and gotten along just fine. And that extra year of waiting would have been just fine to have. Let God choose your pace. The land of Israel would have been overgrown, and they wouldn't have been able to handle it. Next, we need to grow into things. And we see this in verse 30. And by little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. In other words, what he's saying here, he said, you're not enough people to fill all of this land, and it'll be empty and void, and you'll have enemies. And he talks about another spot. He says, there'll be wild animals everywhere, and you will not have grown into where you need to grow into in this thing. And you need to be more people. You cannot fill up all this land. Boy, that is so important in life. Can I tell you this? We in life need to be grow into things that we can handle. There are everybody wants, once they start serving God, so often we want everything now. We want our marriage now, our kids now, we want ministry now. Listen, I had somebody who got out of jail, and he was out of jail 5 weeks, okay, for pretty serious charges. Out of jail 5 weeks at our church. And he said, when can you get me into ministry? I said, let's work on coming to church every Sunday. And that's where we learn our Bible, learn to pray. And, oh, I got a church background. I know about this. I said, no. You just got out of jail, and I'm glad you're coming to church, but you're not ready for the ministry. I'm not ready. You need to grow into that. And in life, you need to grow into things. By the way, many people have kids, and when they haven't grown into having kids, they cannot handle having kids. They're not ready for it. You gotta be ready for things in life. Life is difficult. If you aren't ready for things, if you will not let God, and God will guide your life at the right pace, if you'll say, Lord, guide me what to do, and not just say, I gotta do this. By the way, too, with your finances. We are destroying a generation right now. Praise God, this wasn't true in my generation. In my generation, our parents, for the most part, did not completely spoil us. The generation that's growing up right now, the parents, doesn't matter if they don't have the money, they buy their kids it anyway. Doesn't matter. They buy their kids the toys, they buy their kids the iPods, they buy their kids the video games, they buy their kids the shoes. Doesn't matter how much money they have, that kid screams and yells for his LeBron James shoes. He's getting his LeBron James shoes. And by the way, if you haven't noticed this, these kids that are 16, 17, 18 right now are not driving the kind of car you drove when you were 16, 17, or 18. These parents give these kids nice cars because kids say, I ain't driving that junker. My kids ever say that, I'll say, you're right, you're not driving that junker. It's a long walk. Bus ride's a long way to go. I wish you luck. Bicycle. That's right, bicycle. Skateboard. You have one big strong leg. Can I tell you something? I was talking to a pastor friend about this. He had a couple whose parents just, well, the whole life they gave the guy everything, and then the girl grew up in the same kind of home, and they got married, and their parents bought them a house, and they started off with a Beamer at 22, and were divorced by 26. And miserable because they had nowhere to go. Can I tell you, in life, you enjoy things more when you start out at the bottom? When you have no car, your junker looks good. When you have a total junker that runs half the time and you have to know all the tricks to get it going, and all of a sudden you have a car that starts every time, you like that car. And then somewhere along the way, you get a car that runs good, and you like that car. And then when you're really moving on up, you get a car that even looks okay. Ooh. Say, Pastor, if you've driven junky cars, you don't know the junky cars I've driven. You don't know the junky cars. My first car was a 73 Ford pickup. It could not be dented anymore. Everywhere it could be dented, it was dented, and it wouldn't dent anywhere else. It was just too tough of an old truck, beat up to death. You know what? I've had Flintstones cars where you could put your feet to the floor if you wanted to and do that thing. I mean, go to Chicago and see how fat cars rust out. I've had some, no exhaust cars. I've had two of those. How many people have a no exhaust car? Oh, yeah, there you go. I've had, not all the gears car, but you know what? I drive a 1995 right now, and everything works on it. I like it. I have a 94 and a 95. You say, 95? That's ancient. Well, it is, sort of, but I've had a lot worse. And so you realize that once you grow into things and you go in and inherit the land a little by little and say, I got to have everything right now. I got to have this. Listen, you get spoiled and you get naughty and you get grumpy and you're not happy in life and you don't want to live that way. Grow into things. We need to grow little by little. Next, there needs to be a time when we grow up. Let me take you to Hebrews. Again, Hebrews chapter 5. There needs to be a time when we grow up. Hebrews chapter 5. Sometimes in life, by the way, can I tell you this? Sometimes in life, God needs to make you, just I want you to go ahead and tell him, come on in. There got some people out there. We still got 10 minutes. You remember what I was going to say now. Here's what I was going to say. Can I tell you, sometimes in life, God makes you go backwards because you got too spoiled. See, you just got so high and mighty, and so I got to have this nice stuff, and I got to have this. By the way, you know how... Do you know how spoiled we get so quickly? If you get used to having all the food you like, you get really picky. Yeah, and by the way, that's a bad thing. And pretty soon you need to go back to, for a little while, just having anything and being hungry, and then all of a sudden your food's good again. You get used to having everything you want. Here's Seattle. Hey man, want a cup of coffee? What kind of cream and what kind of syrup and what kind of do you have this and that and hazelnut and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You used to like coffee. Now you don't even know what coffee tastes like anymore. I want a double shot, triple latte, upside down, caramel, macchiato, frappuccino. It takes you 20 words to order a coffee, and you used to like coffee. Oh, boy. Remember when you used to drink water out of your sink? Garden hose, yeah. I like garden hose water. It's got a certain flavor to it. Makes you think of summer, doesn't it? And everybody used to like water. Everybody used to drink water out of their sink. And a garden hose. That's a good point, Ken. I like that. Garden hose. And by the way, the first drink always burns your mouth. But that's okay, because you were thirsty. And now you offer somebody who likes some water. They don't drink your water. What brand do you have? Wet? Dasani. And you know how dumb Americans are? You know if you read where this thing's come from, it's somebody else's tap water. But we are so picky, we've got to have we got to have water out of a bottle. Somebody bought this for me. You know, we are so picky. And you get so spoiled because you get what you want. And a child gets what he wants his whole life, and they inherit everything, and they get everything, and they get so spoiled, and I want more. I'm not happy. And then sometimes God says, you know what? You're not happy anymore in having food and raiment. And I've seen many people who look like they're so financially secure, and everything was so good for them, and they had everything nice, and they just started getting kind of cranky, spoiled people. And God just said, you know what? You need to realize that you're blessed. And their life just kind of goes, And the finances go, pfft. And they all of a sudden say, you know what? That food is pretty good, isn't it? I don't have to go to the Metropolitan to be happy. I can be happy. You know what? If I have McDonald's, I'm happy. You know what? If I eat at home, I'm happy. I said, if I eat at home, I'm happy. You people who eat out all the time and are in debt, I am happy at home because we get spoiled. Next, before I get into too many pet peeves there, there needs to be a time where we grow up. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and such as have need of milk and not strong meat. He says, right now you guys should be teaching other people the Bible, and I can't even let you do that, let alone you need to go back, and I need to give you milk again instead of strong meat. Can I tell you, in this growing thing where he says you grow at God's pace and everything, you need to grow up. Very important thing here, and it's something I've really worked on in my own ministry here, because I'm a pretty patient guy with people. And I put up with a lot with people and be very patient with people for a long, long time. However, sometimes I let people be a baby too long. This needs to come to a point where you're just going to come to church. What are we doing? Reading the Bible. I don't mind calling people. I call people every Sunday, several people, and wake them up. I don't mind picking people up. I don't mind all that stuff. I don't mind that. I don't mind visiting people. But there's a certain point where somebody's got to say, okay, I'm coming to church now. I don't mind checking up, have you read your Bible this week? But at a certain point, you just need to read your Bible. And I don't mind taking a male. By the way, pretty much everybody who is 30 and under right now, every male I have to teach to be a man. It's pretty consistent. They're not men. Doesn't matter if they're 30 or 28 or 25. They're not men nowadays. I have to teach them how to become a man. And you know what? Can I tell you this? If you're 25 or 27 or 28, it's time to quit relying on mama. And it's time to quit being weak. And it's time to quit saying it's tough out there. And it's time to grow up. It's time to be like that. You can be a man by the time you're 16. And ladies, it's time for you to quit acting like you're 15 and grow up in life and say, you know what, I need to be responsible now. I can't go sleep around, I can't go party, I can't go do this and that. I've got responsibilities in life. Time to grow up in the world, but also time to grow up spiritually. Can I tell you, when you've been at a church like Open Door where you're going to learn the Bible, and you're going to learn ministry, and you're going to learn to love the Lord, and you're going to get a lot of Bible in your lessons, and you're going to be taught to read your Bible and pray, at about 2 years, you ought to be ministering at the most. I mean, you ought to be finding people and teaching them the Bible and bringing them to church and helping them grow and helping them learn about God. You just got to grow up spiritually. There's a time, folks, there's a time when you're a baby. And that's what it says. Babes need milk. That's fine. I don't mind taking care of Ronan, picking up Ronan, and changing diapers. And well, I do, but I do it. I don't mind doing all that stuff for Ronan. She's 11 months. But if she's 7, then we have an issue. And you know what? There's a time you come to church where you have addictions, and you have issues, and you have anger problems, and you have this and that. But there's a time when it's time to grow up. Okay, you've been a baby for long enough. Now it's time to become an adult. Time to grow up and become a strong Christian. And God wants you to do that. and next, growth comes by doing. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Let me start verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know how Rana is crawling now and she's learning to stand up? You know how she's learning to do that? We let her. We put things across the room that she wants and she has to get to them. It was funny because she learned it. Her first crawl was on her face. She kind of pushed it with one hand and her legs and just crawled and pushed her face along the carpet. And every once in a while, get her bearings and go back down face first. But you know what? She learned to do it. And you know what? You learn by doing things and by going forward. And you grow by doing things. By the way, teach your kids that. Don't do everything for your kids. Let them struggle. We are so compassionate. And now we're a woman-led society. Women are so tender-hearted and compassionate that poor little Johnny, he's having such a hard time. Let me do this for you. He's 18. You've been doing that your whole life, and that's why you're doing that still. Let Johnny suffer. But he can't do it. It's so hard. It's so heavy to move that thing. Let him do it. And let him struggle. And let him sweat. And let him cry. And let him get frustrated. And let him do it wrong. And let him redo it. That's life. And they got to learn to struggle and be tough. Men and women both. We had that shuttle last week. The shuttle got fixed. I had a mechanic do it. And the mechanic did it wrong. And it was running bad last week. I mean, I know bad running vehicles. It was running bad. I was very embarrassed when we tried to get up the hill here, and we couldn't get up the hill. And it was bad. It was running so bad. And he messed up. And it was a big job. He had to take the whole top of the engine off, change 8 little glow plugs, put the whole top of the engine back on. Big, 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 big job, though, in a very inconvenient place. And something was wrong. The check engine light it on. You know what he had to do? He had to go and do the entire job over again to plug in one thing that he forgot. And you know what? I didn't pay him for doing that either. He did the job wrong. You know what? All of us can make mistakes. That's his fault. And you know what? He never complained a word to me. Because you understand that's life. Life is struggling. And life is hard. And life is fixing your failures. And it sometimes you just got to struggle and grow through struggling. And sometimes Christians, they say, I'm just struggling. And how do I stop the struggling? Well, when you find out, let me know. I haven't figured it out yet. I grow by struggling. You don't get strong by not lifting things. Struggling is part of life, and it makes you great. And you got to grow by using yourself. And it says you are able to grow by having your senses exercised to discern both good and evil by reason of use. Next, all right, let me just say this. Let God choose the pace of your life and the pace of your growth. You're going to try to run the race with patience. You're going to go fast, but you're going to do it with the patience and persistence and keep on serving God, whether it's hard or easy. Run with patience in that. Trust God enough to know God knows how fast you can inherit things and grow and learn things. And if you'll trust God with your life and whatever pace he takes you at, and let him go along with that pace, if you will do that, when you get to the end of it, you'll find out God's pace was the right pace for you. Moses was different than Paul. They grew at a different pace. Different people grow at different paces. You're going forward for God and keep on growing for God, but trust God to give you the things in your life that you need in the right time and that you can handle to help you inherit the land properly. And that's just a simple matter of trusting God. Because if you try to get ahead of God, you will find out you are not prepared for where you are in life. But if you let God prepare you, you'll find out the right pace. Good. That's our Sunday school lesson for today. We're going to pray, and we'll be dismissed. We'll be back in about 13 minutes. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the just teaching us about growing and running with patience the race that is set before us, and letting you guide us in our lives by running the right pace at the right pace, Lord. I pray we'd be people who trust you and grow up and continue to grow in you, Father. I pray you'd help us to do these things, Lord. And Lord, we need your help, Lord. And we need you to guide the right pace, because we don't know what we're going to face in the future. We need to be patient people who have patience for you. But we need to run, Lord, and grow up. Help us to have this balance in our lives. And thank you, Lord, that we can trust you to put us the right pace. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm not really having an invitation per se. But just can I ask you this? Are you somewhere in this lesson letting God pick the pace of your life? Is God maybe having to make you go backward to remember? Are you trying to get ahead of God? Maybe today you say, you know what? I need to run faster. I need to grow up. Or maybe today you need to say, I need to trust God with his pace for my life and wait on him in life. But say, Pastor, God spoke to me about that. And that's me. We pray for me. That's me. I need to do one of these couple things. We sleep our hand up right now. Pastor, that's me. I need to either run with patience and wait on God, or I need to go and trust God more in these things, or I need to grow up spiritually. Or in my life. God bless you. Father, thank you for these hands. I pray bless them and give us a great service today. And thank you for the beautiful day. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you.